Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
New will be back tomorrow. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you on this Monday morning here in beautiful downtown New Orleans. As we now know who is playing in the Super Bowl, and the city is gearing up, getting ready. Things are going into place, but do be aware that each day we're probably going to see more and more traffic restrictions. Getting into downtown New Orleans has been a little more challenging today. Not that it was last week because of the snowstorm, but then on a typical commute because of the closure of Poydras Street around the Superdome, and expect to see more street closures as we get closer. 13 days away from the Chiefs battling the Eagles here in New Orleans. We're going to continue our conversation about the smoking ban that is now 10 years ago that it was passed in New Orleans bars and casinos. Do you think the city is better or worse now as a result? Are bars and casinos better or worse? Are we better off as a city or worse 10 years later after that smoking ban was passed? Last hour, we were just starting to get into that conversation about government overreach or not, and where and when and where is it okay for the government to put in restrictions and bans, and when should the market decide? So we'll pick up that conversation in a few minutes here on the Newell Norman Show. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman, and glad to be here, and glad that Ghassan Korban is joining us, the executive director of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I don't believe in bad juju or jinxes or those kinds of things, but you and I spoke Friday and we were celebrating the fact that we made it through record snowfall, more than we'd seen in 130 years in New Orleans, and a couple of nights of hard freezes without the pressure dropping below 20 pounds per square inch in most of New Orleans, and we didn't have to have a boil water advisory. But lo and behold, all of the factors came together just wrong yesterday, and now we have one, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously we can never let our guards down, not today and not until we have our power complex fully commissioned and ready to serve us. I mean, yesterday was a power related issue that instigated, you know, a series of events that led to the drop, although albeit very short lived, but enough for us to call for a advisory. And it was very, very unfortunate. We were almost out of the woods, but, you know, now we have about 24 hours worth of, you know, under that advisory, and samples been taken, and we're hopeful, like the hundreds of times before, the results will be negative and then we will lift it off. And that's not to say that people should not take it seriously, but, you know, it is a precautionary measure that we're obligated to take by law. And again, invariably, it amounts to no positive results in terms of contaminants or coliform. But, you know, we're hoping that we can lift it off tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk to you more about whether or not the standards for issuing these advisories need to be revisited, whether lawmakers and health officials and advocates need to take a second look at them. But I want to not have that conversation just yet, because at first I want, were you able to take the samples across the city of New Orleans, all of the East Bank? Algiers not impacted by this, but everyone else in New Orleans is under the advisory to boil their water. When were you able to take those samples, and when do you expect to get them back and be able to lift the order?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because of the enormity of size, of the sample sizes that we had to take, we basically at the mercy of the last one that's taken, and we didn't complete all the samples till this morning. So that's basically the earliest we can call it once we have the results is tomorrow. So we're 24 hours from this morning.
Gotcha. And because, yeah, you don't want to do it piecemeal, neighborhood by neighborhood or section by section or whatever. So you have to wait till all of the samples come back negative. Then you'll lift it for all of the East Bank.
That's accurate, yes. Because the system is connected. And unless you isolate areas via valves and such, you know, the system is vulnerable. So we make sure that all samples are off. Are completely tested and results are in before we can call it off.
Explain to us a little better about how this event occurred, and would it have happened had we not had the freeze and the ensuing pipe breaks where we had avoided dropping below 20 PSI, but then you get to a situation where you're right on the brink and you have a power problem?
Well, this event yesterday specifically was a series of many events kind of all combined together. Obviously, the winter freeze was the beginning of the challenge. Then you have the higher demand, and then obviously the need to meet that demand with producing more water. And the more water we produce, the faster the filters that we use to clean the water and make sure that it's safe before we deliver it to you. That obviously was expedited, so to speak. So the filters and the need to clean the filters, which is a routine process and is done without any noticeable impact on the system. But because of all the other variables, you know, we had to just start balancing supplying the distribution system with water, but also use some of the same water or source to clean the filters. So that obviously created another challenge or demand. And at the same time, when all this is happening and we're trying to balance and watching the pressure across the city, we had one pump, portable pump, that tripped offline. We still do not know the main cause, so it's too early, but it's definitely power related. So that really set in motion, you know, a series of events that we just couldn't keep up, because if you have one out of three or four pumps that is down and you're already teetering and close to the 20 as it is, and then you just lose that battle until we were able to restart it, which was done in within 10 to 15 minutes where we restored pressure. But the 10 to 15 minutes is enough to require us to call for boil water advisory. That's why when at the beginning I start by saying I cannot wait till the power complex is complete, because that would have taken that one incident with the power away and wouldn't have created the situation we're in.
Yeah, you're still using more than century-old turbines to generate the electricity to run the pumps, to keep the pressure sufficient to safely deliver water to homes and businesses across New Orleans. We know that you appealed to the public, to the city council, to the state legislature, and you eventually got the funding you needed for the new power complex. Where are we at in the evolution of that, and when do you expect it to be fully online, where you can finally stop relying on this more than 100-year-old power generation system?
Right. So I'll answer your question in a minute, but it's not just the turbines. It's also the relays and the all the equipment that allow us to receive even energy power and utilize it to. In this case, we were using energy power, but all the antiquated pieces of equipment that allow that utilization to happen was also fragile and old, and that will all go away once we have the power complex in place. So the power complex is tracking well. It's basically two stages. The first stage will be substation fully utilized. We'll have all the equipment we need and would allow us to use it for drainage purposes. So that will happen sometime in the middle of this year before the peak hurricane season. So we will have one primary source of power, reliable, efficient, and the idea of cobbling together all sorts of power to drain the city will go away completely. The second phase, which is also critical, is probably a good year or more away, and that's the last amount of money we got from the state to allow us to connect all the potable water pumping and all the associated equipment to the substation. So that's not imminent, but it will obviously take away this fragility and the how vulnerable the system is to glitches and surges. So two phases. One is very imminent from a drainage perspective, and one is not so for the potable water.
Talking with Ghassan Korban, right now, all of the East Bank of the city of New Orleans, only Algiers is not subject to the boil water advisory because, he said briefly, 10 to 15 minutes or so, the pressure on the system dropped below 20 pounds per square inch. They are obligated under current rules and laws to advise you to boil your water for 1 minute, let it cool before consuming it, until they can get these tests back tomorrow morning to confirm that contaminants did not enter the system because of the pressure drop. When we get back, I want to talk more about the current standard. I have been doing this for decades now, covering news here in New Orleans and elsewhere, and I have never, ever seen a single time when a pressure drop in a system due to a pipe break, an electrical malfunction, or other issue led to water coming back as testing positive for too many contaminants that it's not safe to drink. You heard Ghassan Korban similarly expressing frustration when we first started talking to him. So I want to give him more of a platform after this to talk about it. Do lawmakers, do health officials need to get together and reconsider this theoretical situation where contaminants can enter the system with a drop below 20 PSI? Is that the correct way we should determine whether or not to issue boil water advisories, or should that be examined and maybe changed? We'll talk to Ghassan Korban about that after this. Also, the fact that we have a snowstorm that shuts down everything in and around New Orleans, followed by a boil water advisory that makes it very difficult for bars, restaurants, hospitals, schools, and residents, and all businesses with a boil water advisory. And, oh, we got a Super Bowl coming here in 13 days. We'll continue the conversation after this on WWL. The East Bank of New Orleans, the entire city of New Orleans, except for Algiers, is currently under a boil water advisory. You're advised to boil any water you're going to consume for 60 seconds. Let it cool before consuming it. That includes brushing your teeth with it. As the current standard says that if the water pressure in a system drops below 20 pounds per square inch, it is the duty of the water system and the local health officials to issue a boil water advisory until they can get tests from the system to confirm the contaminants did not enter the system due to the loss in pressure. Ghassan Korban is on the live line with us. He is the executive director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. And Ghassan, you did what, 30 years in Milwaukee, 31 years in Milwaukee. You've been here now over 6 years. And I should preface the following conversation by saying, we are not advising you to consume the water. Do not drink the water if you feel it's unsafe and if you want to follow the current laws and rules and standards and understand that you are under an advisory. That having been said, you've got nearly 40 years working on water. I've been a journalist for about that same amount of time, and I have never, ever seen that I can remember a single time that a boil water advisory came back with testing that showed contaminants had entered a water system due to a drop in pressure. Have you ever seen where that occurred?
Very, very rare. Obviously, seldom you see that. And obviously, the law is meant to protect against that one time where you will expose our public to danger. But the big question is, that does this require a conversation? And I think it does. It's noteworthy, though, to share that this is a national law. It's national model. It's not just the state of Louisiana. So way back in Wisconsin, as I was leaving, the law was changing in terms of threshold, because it used to be 15 PSI and was made into up to 20 PSI, which obviously makes it more likely to call one rather than not. That 5 PSI makes a big difference, because often we hit 18 or 17, and, you know, with the current threshold, we have to call it, that otherwise we wouldn't have. But it's not something that we can unilaterally here in the state of Louisiana just change it. I think it's a requirement by the EPA at the national level, and that's where the conversation needs to be had.
Do you think there needs to be another conversation about that now? Because it does seem, and I understand that those people who make these decisions, the scientific community that came together, the health community that came together at the federal and levels across, you know, state after state after state looking at this, it was agreed upon that it was 20 PSI should be the threshold. But again, and you have to balance public safety with public inconvenience as well. Do you think that 20 PSI should be reconsidered, and that there should be maybe a more close look or a more data-driven scientific examination of whether or not that's the right threshold?
I do. Obviously, there was a reason to trigger the change from 15 to 20 back in 2018. And I think, you know, having, you know, more than a handful of years of experience and data related to these new thresholds, maybe it's worth looking at the data and see what it tells us, and maybe an adjustment is required. Now, another thing that is also worth kind of sharing for comparison purposes, you know, worldwide advisors happen everywhere. Unfortunately, it's happening more and more, again, because of the 20 higher threshold. Also, you know, more issues, you know, you take Texas, for example. Other states are facing winter conditions that they didn't before, creating more of an issue for them, including us. You know, we are facing this more and more. But this city, because of its system and its vulnerability, just merely of somebody hitting a hydrant, could lead to a drop in pressure. So we see that more often, and the impact of it is more notable. Yeah,
that exact thing happened.
More real life.
Yeah, last week in Belle Chasse, that exact thing happened. Someone literally ran over a fire hydrant, and Belle Chasse was under a boil water advisory.
Right, right. So it's a reality. It will happen. And, you know, part of our issue is the vulnerability of the system itself is too fragile. The isolation of the mains and kind of, you know, the valves and the ability, the access to these valves is somewhat challenging at times. So, you know, there's a lot of variables. But to answer your overall question, or overarching question, should we have a conversation? I think we should. I'm not sure where it's going to lead us, but I think it's at least it would either affirm or maybe lead us to some adjustment.
The theoretical is that when the pressure drops, it makes the system vulnerable to contaminants entering. Where would that theoretically occur? Where would the contaminants, the bacteria or whatever it is that they're concerned about, how would they get into the water system due to a pressure drop below 20 PSI? How physically explain to us how that could theoretically happen?
So there's two scenarios where that could happen. One, which is very, very unlikely, contaminants surrounding a pipe itself that maybe has a cavity in it, a break, then you lose pressure, and then contaminants could enter directly into that that water main. And then maybe it's, if it's repaired, for example, you still have to make sure that a safe sample is obtained after the is obtained. But the majority of the exposure is due cross connections, siphoning the water. You know, whether you have a tub with like a laundry tub, or maybe even industrial mechanism that allows for water to be siphoned back into the system, bringing with it, you know, water that has no, that is dirty, that is full of chemicals or full of contaminants. And if it enters the system and we don't call for the worldwide advisory and sample, we will know, and then the exposure is then real. And obviously the results are negative. But in this case, in our case, you know, and similar to other cities, there's a new safeguard that we've been implementing, which is backflow prevention. So anything that, anytime we are aware of a connection where that could happen, we have a backflow preventer that would safeguard against water being siphoning back. Now, it's not 100%, but it really is a very, very secure
it's a mitigation.
I guess mechanical contraption that allow water to flow one way into the house or property, but precludes it from going backwards and back into the system. So that alone could really should be factored into the discussion that you've raised before, and see whether the these backflow preventers have served their purpose and have done what they're supposed to do, lessening the likelihood of exposure.
And that is really more of a threat in an industrial setting, because I think most of us think about our own homes and can't think of, I can't imagine a situation where my bathtub, my dishwasher, my laundry machine, clothes washer is going to be to a point where the entry point for the water would allow it to be siphoned back into the system. The bigger threat is in an industrial setting where maybe things are configured differently, huh?
Right. And in those instances, there's more safeguards in terms of, you know, the backflow preventers and other valves, contraptions that really reduce that risk. But nonetheless, that's where the exposure lies.
You think once we get these samples back tomorrow, and hopefully all is well and you can lift the boil water advisory, has the system stabilized from the breaks we saw during the winter storm event last week to a point where we can feel pretty good? And again, I don't believe in juju or jinxes or anything like that, but I don't want to jinx it, that we're good for the Super Bowl, because the last thing we want is the world's eyes on us next week when everyone's coming in town for the Super Bowl and we have a situation where the water's not deemed safe to drink.
Yeah, I mean, cautiously optimistic. While I was on the call with you, I was told that samples were taken immediately when we lost pressure, so we will be able to call off the owner. Could be mid-afternoon to late afternoon today, so that's good news.
Okay, so just repeat that again, because this is important information.
What I was saying that I need to make a correction. The calling off of the advisory could happen as early as this afternoon.
Ah, because you were able to get samples across the city yesterday,
you didn't
have to wait until this morning. Okay,
yes,
well, that's good.
I was being too cautious, so that's great news to share with you. And we are keeping up with our own water main breaks. I mean, we still have quite a few out there to repair, but we're on it. We're steadily fixing them one by one. Obviously, the biggest vulnerability remains on the private sector or a private property, because there's a lot of, we're seeing high demand still, higher than usual, which is an indication that many of those have not been repaired. So, you know, we have little control over that, but we're hoping that people are continue to attend to those and fix them. And I believe more comfortably that we will be able to handle most of them before the Super Bowl.
All right. So, folks, check your properties. If you have low water pressure now, you shouldn't. Your water pressure should be back up to normal. So if you have low water pressure, you may have a break. Or if you have a neighbor maybe that is out of town or there's an Airbnb in your neighborhood or whatever, maybe help out the system by checking out to see if you see any water leaking anywhere. And if you do, let's get that attended to. We need to get everything fixed, up and running, and really at the top of its game for the next couple of weeks. Not that we don't need to worry about it after that, but particularly when we have the eyes of the world on us, it really would be nice to not have any of these problems, wouldn't it? Ghassan Korban, Executive Director of the Sewerage and Water Board, anything else you want to share before we let you get back to the business of making sure our water is good to go?
No, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me today. All right.
Thank you for joining us here on WWL. He's Ghassan Korban. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman, and I'll take your calls and texts next, 504-260-1870. If you want to sound off on anything we just discussed, do you think that the standards are too restrictive and leading to too many boil water advisories when the threat is low? Or do you think it's a better safe than sorry scenario where we should be worried and we should be more? We should err on the side of caution even more. I just know there's a lot of boil water advisories in a lot of places. It's not just here. I know we focus on here, but you know, in the last 8 years, Ghassan Korban pointed out that there have been more of them in state after state, city after city, because the threshold is higher now. Someone texted and said, where does the pressure go when it drops? Well, in this case, a pump turned off. It lost electricity, and the pumps push the water and maintain the pressure. So that pump stops pumping, and the pressure drops. And there were also issues. They had to refill the water towers. Those are supposed to keep the pressure up when the pumps go off, but because of the high demand and all the breaks in the system, the system didn't work quite properly. So we can talk about that. And I also want to pick up the conversation we were having last hour about it's been 10 years since New Orleans now banned smoking in casinos and bars. Is the city better off or worse off now, a decade later, with this ban on smoking in casinos and bars? We were just getting into the discussion about too much government overreach some people feel that represents. Let me know. You can grab a line now, 504-260-1870, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Sound off about any of these topics or anything else that's on your mind. I'll read some of your texts and take your calls next. Got any snow left in your neighborhood? I really find it comical that as I drive around, I see some of the snowmen and snowwomen people made that are still in various states of melting. Some of them still look okay, particularly the really big ones people made. Most of them, though, are starting to look like you wouldn't want Frosty to look. I still have a thin strip. At least I did last night before I went to bed. I couldn't see when I left the house this morning. It was too dark. In my backyard where the sun don't shine, don't take that out of context, where there's still a little bit of snow in my backyard, but that was about it. Gone from the roof, gone from everywhere else. And pretty soon it'll be a distant memory. Hope you took lots of pictures and made lots of videos to remember it by, because otherwise it'll feel like we woke up from a bad dream. Did it really snow here? 10 inches in New Orleans? Well, that snow was a contributing factor, particularly the cold weather that came with it, to a series of events that led to yet another boil and water advisory for all of New Orleans except for Algiers. The good news is that Ghassan Korban, the executive director of the Sewerage and Water Board, told us just now that they did get all those samples taken yesterday afternoon. And so hopefully by this afternoon or this evening, they will have the results come back negative and they will be able to lift the boil water advisory for New Orleans. We have seen them lifted in a few other parishes already and others still waiting on test results. And we shall see. Again, though, the threshold for issuing a boil water advisory with the pressure in a system dropping below 20 PSI has led to many, many more boil water advisories locally, regionally, and across the country over the last 8 years since they raised the threshold, fearful that the 15 pounds per square inch threshold was too low and that even at below 20, there was a theoretical threat of contaminants entering the system. One person texted us and said, if a bar doesn't boil the water and uses it to make alcoholic mixed drinks, will the alcohol kill the contaminants? I wouldn't take that chance. I think the risk is extremely low there's any contaminants in the system. But if there are any, I don't know that there's enough alcohol. It may depend how strong a drink the bartender is pouring. I can tell you this, and one of the things people often forget when we're under these boil water advisories is the soft drink machines. That if you go to get you a Coke out of the soft drink, that's pulling water out of the system to carbonate it and to run it through the syrup and put it in your glass. So that is something you should not do. Places should shut down their ice makers and discard all the ice made after the pressure drop to ensure that it doesn't have any contaminants in it, if it does. And somebody else says, better safe than sorry on the text line. Then there's this text that I'm not sure what to do with. 20 pounds per square inch. Should you not eat eggs that chickens laid on a rainy day? Thanks for the text. And somebody else says, I never realized how much a non-issue contaminants in the water seem to be when it comes to boil water advisories. We need change. Yeah, I'm absolutely advocating for a wider conversation and for more scientific data, particularly from the last 8 years since they went from 15 to 20 PSI. But I'd also like to see the comparison when it was 15 to how often. It's always been rare, but how often they found contaminants in water with a drop below 15 pounds per square inch. I'll be honest with you. The last time I was under a boil water advisory at my home, I brushed my teeth, and I lived to tell about it. Now, maybe I'm playing Russian roulette, Coleman, with my life, brushing my teeth with water under the boil water advisory, but, you know.
Where do the contaminants come from the water? Is it just innate in the water supplies, they from underground?
No, the fear is, there's two fears that Ghassan kind of explained to us, and I know you were busy doing other things in there at the time, but that when a pipe breaks, that actual hole in the pipe, dirt and other things that are around the pipe could fall into the system.
Okay, I was just asking because I've seen a lot of videos last week of people eating snow off the ground, so I thought maybe, all right, if we have to be worried about the contaminants in the boil water advisory, what about the contaminants that may have floated down from the sky or from the cement when it hits the ground or from the grass? You know, I've seen some people like just licking snow, like, yeah, like, okay.
Yeah, I saw people making snowballs out of snowballs.
I've seen people making Crown Royal snowballs. They put some Crown Royal in the snowball and eat the snowball.
Yeah, boozy balls, they call those. The problem is the booze tends to melt the snow really quickly. And so if you're going to have a boozy ball, it usually ends up being more of a slushy. But I grew up eating snow. For anyone who listens to me regularly, particularly in the early morning to hours from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. during the early edition of WWL First News, I'm a damn Yankee. A Yankee comes down to visit, a damn Yankee stays. I've been in the South now far longer than I lived in the North, and I've lived here in New Orleans going on 28 years now. But I grew up for the first 18 years of my life in Chicago, where it snowed regularly, and we ate the snow, the fresh snow. You know, not the snow that had been sitting there for days, but literally once it falls, you know, you grab a handful of it, you eat it. I mean, even as a little kid, we used to have those moon boots with had the deep tread in them, and you'd stomp on some snow and would make little French fry sized pieces of snow, and we'd pick those up and eat them. And I lived, much like many of you who probably drank out of a hose as a kid and managed to live to talk about it. Carol, thanks for calling. You are on WWL. Please change the topic for me. I was going on a tangent there.
Oh, no, it's water. It's water. I was drinking my coffee this morning out in River Ridge, and Dr. Brobson Lutz came on TV, and he was talking about that boiled water advisory. And, you know, he's kind of a quirky, kind of funny little guy. And he said, basically, you would have more of a medical issue getting a hernia by carrying cases of water than you ever would by drinking water under a boil advisory. And, I mean, hey, the guy's on the State Board of Medical Examiners. I'm going to go with Dr. Lutz.
So if there's a boil water advisory at your home again, you're just going to go ahead and drink the water?
Absolutely. And I'm not going to lug 5 gallon jugs of water into my house either, because I'm 61 going on 62, and I've been drinking, public school water in Jefferson Parish my whole life.
Did you eat any of the snow, Carol?
Yeah, we had quite a bit.
No, did you eat any of it? I said, did you eat any of it?
Oh, no. Especially not the yellow.
No, of course not. Thank you. Carol, we're going to stop on that note. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. We're back after this with your calls and texts on WWL. Don't eat the yellow snow. 11:55, 5 in front of noon. It's Monday morning. Does it feel to you like so many people, we've had several callers talk about, yeah, back when we had that snow, or, you know, that was only like 5 days ago that we were dealing with all of that. But for some people, it feels like a month ago, forever ago. I think we kind of like reset over the weekend and went into a weird time warp. Text messages are coming in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. One says, I'm a backflow prevention specialist. If everyone would be required to have a backflow preventer on their water system, we would never need a boil water advisory. Yeah, Ghassan Corban talked about that to some extent, and I didn't get to finish explaining to Coleman that second way that the contaminants can get in the water. The first way is they fall in when there's a break in a pipe, a hole in a pipe, a cavity, as Corban said. They can also get in during the process of workers switching out pipes. When they're repairing them, upgrading them, or whatever, contaminants can technically get into the system there. And you expect some mud, you know, right? You're digging up a pipe, you're screwing it into the next one or sealing it to the next one, and you're going to get some mud in there and whatever's on the hands of the workers and all that kind of stuff. But there should be enough chlorine in the water to kill those small amounts. That's why we chlorinate the water, right? But the backflow issue is another one, particularly in the industrial setting, where when pressure drops, you could have a siphoning effect of the water getting sucked back into the system that's already been placed into an industrial setting, or technically in a residential setting, but it seems like the risk there is far lower and the amount of contaminants would be far lower. But backflow protect easy for me to say, backflow preventers, particularly in the industrial setting, would really help in preventing anything that's once it's left the water system from in any way, shape, or form getting back in through any means. So this is something I think we need to have the wider conversation. We in New Orleans are particularly vulnerable because of this more than 100-year-old water system we have, to there being problems with it. But in Jefferson Parish, the system's not that old. I think it's, what, about 60 years old. And we heard from Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang last week that on any given week, they have 500 pipes break. On any given week. Not because of the winter, not because of the freeze, not because of the increase that we saw due to the drought and the ground settling last summer, but just on average in any given week because the system is aging. And you add into that the problems in New Orleans with the power, and until we get to really August, it sounded like, or September, we're not going to have that addressed with the new power station, and it's going to be next year or beyond before the entire system is converted to then take power from that new substation. So we've got a ways to go. It does seem like we need to figure out, do we really need all of these boil water advisories when they keep coming back time after time, one after another, with no contaminants having entered the system? Have the Environmental Protection Agency and all the contributing stakeholders who helped determine what the threshold for issuing a boil water advisory needs to be, have they gone too far? And should they reexamine that? I vote yes, that they should at least take a look at it, look at the data from the last 8 years, and see if it's too restrictive now. I don't want to die from contaminated water. I don't want to get sick from contaminated water, and I don't want anyone else to, particularly the young and the old and the, you know, immunocompromised, and those people are particularly vulnerable. But maybe we need to even consider, maybe boil water advisories are for just the vulnerable segments of our society, not for everyone. That people with a normal, strong, healthy immune system have very little to worry about with a 20 or less pounds per square inch of pressure in a system. But maybe people who are very old or very young or have serious health problems, maybe they're advised to not consume the water. We're all living, thinking, breathing adults also. We can make a decision for ourselves. There aren't going to be any boil water advisory police coming into your house and slapping a cup of water out of your hand or... But if you're a business and you do provide water, during a boil water advisory and someone does, in one of the very rare instances, get sick, well, then you have whole new liability issues. So it's complicated. I get it. Not complicated is who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl. We know that. And Bobby Hebert joins us next hour to talk about that and the Saints coaching search.